Hello, and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary.
What's up, Mary?
What up? So, last week...
I can't take you seriously.
The screen that's pulled up on my computer right now are pug NASA outfits, so you shouldn't take me seriously at all, but how are you?
We're going to need to see that content once it drops. I'm great. I just want to say thanks to all of our listeners for such an amazing response to our Max Martin episodes that we put out last week. Holy crap, you guys, your DMs have been killing us. It's great to see that some of these surprise Max Martin bops were also surprises to you because we were starting to feel Delulu. So thanks for validating our feelings. And as always, before we jump into our episode, quick disclaimer that we do not own or claim to own the rights to the songs or performances in this episode. The purpose of these clips is for commentary and critique. Mare, we finally got Ariana and Max's song. So I'm dying to hear thoughts, comments, questions.
Okay. Normally, I would be really like gagged to hear a girl talking about like, why do you give a f- about who's f- I'm writing? Normally, I would be like, yes, queen. But just like knowing everything that she's done and like she wrote that, probably inspired by the man who she stole from his wife.
SpongeBob.
Yes.
SpongeBob.
I'm not as
allegedly.
Over it. Yes. Allegedly. I have trouble getting excited about it, but I appreciate the kind of 80s vibe.
Well, I don't see how it's any different from Vogue. It just feels
right.
An Ariana-fied version of Vogue. I mean, I still like it. Like, I'm sure, like, most of her songs, like, it'll grow on me. It just wasn't, like, a break free that I immediately am like, oh, yeah, this slaps. But I'm sure once I listen to it 18 million times and it's forced down our throats, I'll love it. Ugh. It also made me think, you know, in our final Max episode where we talked about Ariana and Taylor, you had asked, you know, what were my thoughts on the rumors surrounding potentially why Taylor didn't bring on Max for the 1989 Taylor's version? And if we think he'll be on Reputation, why not? And one of those speculated rumors that you had mentioned was that maybe because Taylor just has like too much drama around her, Max is too private. And this to me only proves that that could not be one of the reasons why he wouldn't work with Taylor.
But like, I feel like this unfolded while they were working on the album. Like, Ariana does not have the level of press and spectacle that Taylor Swift has. I mean, she does have press and spectacle, but I feel like that's like an apple and an orange.
This was a cheating scandal, though. Like, Taylor hasn't been involved in anything. Like, everything Taylor does gets scandalized. But I don't know. And this song, like, addresses it.
I don't think the level of press coverage they get is remotely comparable.
Fair.
But did you know she also announced her album?
Ariana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what it was called?
No, tell me more.
It's called, I think, Eternal Sunshine. And that happens to be the initials of SpongeBob.
Oh my God. Ethan, what's his name? Ethan?
Something like that. I don't even remember his name. So everybody's all intrigued by that. Anywho, what are we talking about today?
So, Mary. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about where we were as a society in the early 2000s. And while I know we like to talk about the bubblegum glittery parts, there were also a lot of things wrong with that time period. One of them being the tabloid culture of the early aughts, or as we like to call it, the naughty oddies. I am just so interested in this topic. It's something that I think about a lot. And I mean, speaking of tabloid culture and celebrity gossip, our topic today couldn't be more appropriate. One person in particular that comes to mind when I think of celebrity gossip in the early aughts is Perez Hilton. So it has been 20 years since Perez Hilton started his infamous celebrity gossip blog, PerezHilton.com. I think about Perez all the time.
When I was really young, I thought Perez Hilton was Paris Hilton. I thought it's, like, someone like spelled it wrong. Like, you know, I thought they were the same. Like, when I was really young, before I like learned.
Wait, that's so funny. Isn't like, that, you thought it was people misspelling.
Yeah. I just was like, Perez Hilton, you mean Paris Hilton? Like, I just had, I wasn't able to make the leap for a little bit of time. But we made the leap.
We made the leap. I definitely want to talk about how he came up with that stage name and that persona. But I feel like just his name alone, Perez Hilton, or as Mary thought, Paris Hilton spelled incorrectly, is a name that just, it inspires so many different reactions. And usually they're pretty negative, you know, disgust, anger, or nostalgia. But one thing that it won't inspire is indifference. He's such a polarizing figure, and he changed the way that celebrity news and gossip was reported and consumed with his blog, PerezHilton.com. When I think of Perez, I think of those signature doodles over the paparazzi photos. Perez called himself, quote, the queen of all media, end quote, and he would famously draw those white pen thought bubbles and explicit drawings. And I mean, this man was relentless. No one was safe from Perez's snarky and, frankly, damaging, harmful, and downright salacious allegations and gossip. But I mean, that logo, the hot pink background with the letters of his name designed like the Hollywood sign. When I see that logo, I can smell my high school library because I would like go check his site in between classes because I was so addicted.
That's so funny because like my memory is going through it during free period or study hall in our library. But one day, someone caught on and they like my super uptight school put parental controls on the site so I couldn't get on it anymore.
Who narked? That's insane.
Right? So I had to wait till after school to catch up on all my celeb gossip, but I was definitely in the mix.
We were all checking Perez and trying to be the first comment. Being the first comment on a Perez post was like a big deal. Everyone would be like, first.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like people do that now. Oh,
or on TikTok, everyone's like, wow, I'm early.
Yeah.
But that's where it all started with Perez. So, gosh. I loved reading his site so much. I had his merch. I even had his face on my birthday cake one year. Like, that is how much Perez, the, you know, celebrity gossiper, was a celebrity to me personally. And like looking back, it's like so embarrassing because I think we can all collectively agree, even Perez himself, that he sort of made it his brand to be cruel. And I mean, cruel, he would even make fun of the appearance of celebrity kids. Like Rumor Willis was one of those children. She didn't ask to be born to famous parents. Right. And he would say the most horrible things about her appearance. Like, leave Rumor alone. And so many celebrities just straight up hated Perez. But I feel like back then, the way that I would justify reading his site was that it felt like celebrities were so out of reach that it was like, oh, of course, you know, Misha Barton isn't going to see this little blog and know that Perez is making fun of her weight. But celebrities are humans too. They have eyes they can read, most of them, at least, I think. And I think lately with like social media, celebrities have been so much more vocal about how damaging online rumors and gossip can be. Hailey Bieber comes to mind as being super honest about reading the comments on her social media and how much they hurt her feelings. She's like, hello, this is my page. I see what you're saying about me and you're giving me anxiety. But back then, we didn't really have that two-way conversation with celebrities. So it almost felt like it wasn't hurting anyone, if that makes sense. Perez did so many messed up things. Like, yeah. He would leak unreleased songs, including Britney Spears songs.
He Do you know which sued. Ones they were?
So it would have been in 2007.
The Blackout era, I guess?
Yes. So the Britney songs were from Blackout, her first album in 4 years. I actually remember listening to them on Perez. I mean, he would introduce me to who was hot, who was not. So yeah, he'd get sued for copyright infringement. He would leak music. But the worst of his crimes, in my opinion, was when he would publish leaked nude photos of young stars like Jennifer Lawrence, Vanessa Hudgens. I mean, that's messed up. And the damage just doesn't go away once a post is deleted. Mm-mm. That shit stays for a long time. Another example, I think, of Perez's lasting impact was something that is in the headlines very recently, given the new Mean Girls musical movie that just came out. So I'm not sure if you remember this, Mary, but Brandon Davis, he used to be like a big party boy and he was always on Perez's website. And he infamously once called Lindsay Lohan a fire crotch.
All right, Lohan's movie bombed because she's a fire crotch.
I might be misremembering this, but I just feel like I remember Perez referencing Lindsay that way on her site. You know how he would come up with like mean nicknames for people? Yeah. He called Jennifer Aniston Maniston. He called Misha Barton Mushy Farton. And I'm pretty sure that he would call Lindsay like Firecrotch or Frotch. And this made it into Mean Girls, the musical movie that just came out last week, this like Firecrotch dig. And Lindsay issued a statement about it, that it was, you know, disgusting that they included it in there. I mean, this girl's relentlessly bullied in the early 2000s. And I don't blame her for being pissed off. And while Perez didn't come up with that name himself, he's not the one who said it. It was Brandon Davis.
Yeah.
He certainly added fuel to the fire by posting this stuff online and just giving celebrities mean nicknames and drawing inappropriate pictures of them on his site. And I just feel like his early career is such a good example of the bad shit that we put up with and thought was funny in the early 2000s. And that shit would never fly today. Like, it just was like not okay. So while Perez is credited with being a celebrity bully and trying to take down a lot of stars, I do think that it's also worth noting that he also helped build up and create two of the biggest pop stars of the 2000s, that being Katy Perry and Lady Gaga. And then he ended up becoming the subject of salacious gossip and rumors himself when he suffered these super high profile alleged falling outs with both of them. And that's what I want to talk about today, because these are my Roman Empire, Perez and his celebrity besties, who then like totally never wanted to talk to him again and had very public fights. So you mentioned Perez's name, Perez Hilton, and how that came to be. Well, let's go back to the beginning. Perez was born in Miami, Florida, to Cuban parents. He's very proud of his Latino heritage. He speaks about it at length in his books, his podcast that he has now. And he went to NYU in the year 2000 and then moved to LA to become an actor. And I've heard him mention in other interviews that it was really tough for him to get a role because he is a lighter skinned Latino. So he wasn't Latino enough to get the Latino roles, but then he wasn't white enough or thin enough or attractive enough to get like the conventional like white leading male roles. So I think a lot of what he credits his viciousness to was just that feeling of insecurity and being such an outsider to the glamour of Hollywood. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to tell you about one role that Wikipedia listed as part of Perez's TV credits. He appeared in a very small role in a 2001 episode of Sopranos.
Oh my God, Brad's literally watching The Sopranos right now.
Well, on the third season, episode 3, apparently Perez is handing out something to do with concert tickets at gunpoint. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I think I know exactly what that is.
But like, pretty iconic. If you're going to have one role in anything, like to say that it's in The Sopranos is pretty badass.
Arguably, it's one of the best shows of all time.
Right. Like, if I wasn't going to be in The Sopranos, I'd want to be in like The OC.
Right. Exactly.
Because to me, that was the greatest TV show of all time. Okay. So anyways, Perez tries to be an actor. It's not really working out for him. So he becomes the managing editor of Instinct magazine. And in 2004, he starts his blog, PerezHilton.com, as a hobby. And he would go to his local Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf on Sunset Boulevard because he didn't have internet service at home. So he would post up there every day and write his blog. And I remember him referencing the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf all the time in his posts. So Perez's real name is Mario Armando Lavandera II. He's a junior. Hmm. And Perez created his stage name, which was obviously inspired by Paris Hilton, as Mary, you so quickly picked up on, who he would later become friends with. And he said his name is, quote, satirizing, it's celebrating, and it's a clash of these two worlds, which is what I am. I'm gay, I'm Latino, and I've infiltrated this pop culture vernacular world craziness. He's emulating the fame and fortune with Hilton and then staying true to his Latino roots with Perez.
Very creative.
I thought it was such a creative name, honestly. Yeah. And a lot of people are like, wow, I can't believe Paris Hilton didn't sue the shit out of him. Anyways, this little blog that Perez just started as a hobby at its peak would have 7 million visitors a day. That's insane. I mean, now with like virality, I feel like we're used to like 7 million views on something like doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But every single day, having 7 million distinct people tuning in to watch what you doodled on a paparazzi photo, that's insane to me. So in an interview with ABC News, Perez said that he tries not to become friends with celebrities, but sometimes it just happens. And I think that's what made Perez stand out as so different to me, because as, you know, an avid consumer of celeb gossip, I was always reading like People or Us Weekly, but they were reporters. You know, I saw Perez with these stars. I saw him post photos at parties with them. I knew he was friends with so many of them. And that made me think like, okay, there must be some truth to it. And why would he say it if he didn't believe it full-heartedly? Because he's in this circle, right?
Right.
So let's talk about two of those celebrity friendships. I want to get started with Lady Gaga, because to me, I feel like this was the most highly publicized and public friendship fallout that I've ever seen in my life. So in 2008, Perez and Lady Gaga first meet, and Perez hired Lady Gaga to perform at some club party. I think it was for the 4th of July, where he has said in a televised interview that he had to beg the club to let her perform because she wasn't that well known. So they become really close. Perez is really propping her up. I remember the first time I listened to Paparazzi was on Perez's site.
Wow.
He was always posting photos of Lady Gaga. I mean, I thought that she was just had to be so cool, and she was so avant-garde. And like, if Perez loved you, then I loved you.
Right.
So he's propping her up. He's like, Lady Gaga is the most amazing. Look at her crazy outfits. I love her. Listen to her music. This is also the year that Perez throws what he described as an impromptu party at his friend's house. And it was absolutely star-studded. We had Lady Gaga there with her hair done up. Remember when she would put her hair like in a bow, but not in a bow, like her hair was the bow?
Yes.
Katy Perry was there. Amanda Bynes was there.
Wow.
Emmy Rossum, Michelle Trachtenberg, Mika. Remember Mika? I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky. And Josh Groban was there.
What an eclectic group.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I felt like Perez knew everyone, and everyone wanted to be on his good side, because, like, God forbid he draws a scribble on your face that looks like something inappropriate. So 2008, they connect. They're friends. Perez is propping her up. Just Dance comes out. It's a hit. And they are just super close friends. Perez and Gaga are attached at the hip. They're at red carpet events together. Perez is going along for the ride with Gaga as she pops and has this huge, fast ascension. But in 2011, this is where their relationship starts to sour. And both Lady Gaga and Perez have commented on this at length. Publicly. So Lady Gaga decided to tell Howard Stern her part of the dissolution of their friendship on his radio show. And she said that they were doing an interview where she took a couple days out of her schedule. She was on a world tour. She's making it very clear that she cleared her schedule for her friend Perez. She's doing him a favor, pretty much. And in the middle of the interview, he starts asking her these horrible questions. And she said that he was negative about Born This Way. In this video, it exists online. Perez starts it off by offering her a drink of whiskey because they're friends. They're laying on a bed together. It feels like a conversation between two friends. And Gaga admits, you know, we had a lot to drink. She said, he was supposed to be my friend and I felt betrayed. So I started crying. Then my friend had to come in and pull the camera out, but they wouldn't turn the cameras off. Then he apologized, but I sort of felt it was like, but I'm Perez Hilton, so I'm allowed to treat you this way. I looked at him and said, just because you are who you are does not mean that our friendship doesn't mean anything when the cameras turn on. So now I see who you really are. And I was done after that. So Gaga just describes this experience as being the beginning of the end of their friendship. And she said that she was there for him. She supported him. And now she felt that he was just mad because she doesn't want to hang out with him anymore because, quote, I don't want to be around fake people, end quote.
Ooh.
So that's Gaga's side of the story, which I'm sure if you were with someone and they were like kind of ribbing you, what I get from this story that Gaga is telling us, I can totally see maybe he got a little jealous that she was getting super famous, trying to like knock her down a peg a little bit.
Jealousy, for sure.
Right. And he already has this reputation for being snarkiest of snark. So like, that doesn't seem that out of the blue to me. However, when Perez tells this story, he says that she was drunk, like crazy, like drank way too much, and she stormed off. So like, who's to say what really happened? But in that same interview with Howard Stern, Gaga said that the whole thing is, quote, rooted in Madonna. Yes, that Madonna. Like, what? Where's, what does Madonna have to do to this? Well, Gaga says that that's the center of it, and no one has really said that or admitted to it. There's this thing with some people that I'm a, quote, threat to the throne, quote, and I don't want your throne. And no thanks, I have my own. And I don't actually want a throne at all because I don't view myself as a queen. I view myself as one of my fans, and that's it, end quote. She views herself as fans. Well, Perez obviously has a fucking field day with this and tweets back. He like tweets Madonna. He's like, Madonna, do you see this shit? Gaga, like, you could never come from Madonna's throne. Like, you're Yoko Ono. Like, go away.
Ooh. He's a savage. He doesn't hold back.
I mean, Gaga kind of went after him first. Like, yeah. I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know if she came after him first. To go on Howard Stern and detail this, like, she kind of knows what she's getting into by addressing it so publicly.
Sure.
Well, this just starts some big ass shit storm that again rears its ugly head 2 years later in 2013. I call this the apartment drama of 2013. So it's 2013 now. It's been a long time that they haven't been friends. Like, it's not that crazy. We're kind of all tired of hearing about it. Well, Lady Gaga goes on a crazy, capital C-R-A-Z-Y, tirade on Twitter where she accuses Perez of stalking her because he looked at an apartment in her building, unknowing that she lived there in New York City. And Gaga posts a series of tweets where she's like, what do I need to do to prove to you people that this man is going to hurt me? Like, what has to happen before people believe me? I can't imagine why you would want to live in this building unless it's to hurt me. And so then Perez releases this statement where he's like, wait, what? Like, I only learned after the fact that she lived in one of these buildings. She was in LA when I viewed that building. Like, I'm not following her around.
Right.
So his statement actually was really sad to me. He said, quote, after a day of innocent house hunting, I am devastated and my heart hurts that my former very good friend, a person I used to call my wifey and traveled the world with, is making very public and very untrue allegations about me on Twitter. Any allegation that I am stalking her based on a day of house hunting with my baby boy and my mother is utterly false, defamatory, and now appears to be putting me and my family in danger. Because all the little monsters started threatening Perez. What a freaking mess.
I think that was a pretty good statement he made. It definitely evokes like sympathy almost. It makes him seem very innocent in this to me.
Right. And it's kind of like a hint of irony though, right? Like finally Perez is on the receiving end of these crazy things. So they're going back and forth on Twitter. This is what Gaga said. She made a crazy, oh my God. I think this made Lady Gaga actually look really crazy. She said, quote, if you hate somebody and you want to move next door to me, the only thing I can think of is that you're moving in because you want to blow yourself up. There's thousands and millions of apartments in New York. You don't need to move in next door to me. So then Perez responds by accusing Lady Gaga of being on drugs. And he even tweeted her parents in his tweets.
Oh, God.
And then just to like, you know, twist the dagger, he started sharing links to horrible art pop reviews, Lady Gaga's latest album, Art Pop. And he told his fans to go buy Christina Aguilera's album, Bionic, instead. Because apparently Gaga and Christina Aguilera had beef, which I didn't even know about. Did you know that?
I feel like I saw everybody had beef back then and it was just hard to know what was real.
Perez was probably telling us about it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we get this horrible thing playing out on Twitter. I mean, I do feel like 2010, 2013, that was peak Twitter feuds. Like now it's mostly just reserved for like housewives. Back then, like celebrities would go at the jugular on Twitter.
Celebrities don't even run their Twitters anymore, you know?
No, and thank God, because then we get this fucking train wreck when they have access to it with their own thumbs. So in 2020, Perez's memoir comes out, and in it, he talks about, again, you know, the drama with Gaga. And in his reflections, this is what he has to say about it. Quote, as she became Lady Gaga to the world, she began drinking in a different, more serious way while also popping all kinds of pills. He's making these kind of crazy accusations about Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga's talked about sobriety before and some of her issues. So it just feels really yucky. And he says that he believed Lady Gaga was just using him as a tool to hurt Christina, but also against her other rivals as well. He said, quote, she never explicitly asked me to write nasty things about people, but by moaning to me, she made me feel like I, her best friend, should do something about it. After Gaga and I had our falling out, it became apparent to me, wow, she was just using me. When she didn't need me anymore, after she became the biggest pop star on the planet, she tossed me aside. That hurt.
Oh, my goodness.
My analysis of this situation, knowing very little about it, except what I just read off to everyone, is it seemed like they were kind of using each other.
Right. And that's kind of a common theme in the friendship and falling out I want to talk about. I just think it was a little less, you know, him and Lady Gaga were so, so, so close. Mm-hmm. And I think him and Katy Perry were close, but maybe not as close. So it maybe hurt a little less. If you couldn't guess, I want to talk about his relationship with Katy Perry. I don't think I said that. And he seems to reflect on that a bit more fondly than he does with Lady Gaga, I guess. My goodness. But let's get into it. I didn't really know much about this. And so I was doing some digging on the internet. And I found that in 2019, Perez uploaded a video discussing his friendship and supposed fallout with Katy Cat, Katy Perry herself. And that's where I was able to get a sense of kind of the rise and fall of them as a friendship pairing. And so they first met in March of 2007. Katy was someone's plus one at Perez's birthday party. And apparently, according to Perez, this was a huge ordeal. Dita Von Teese was performing at the party. Now, Katy was someone's plus one. She wasn't like invited herself. This was before she was, you know, anything. And Perez said when he saw her that night, she was super into the music and he loved that about her. And they struck up conversation. He learned she was an aspiring musician and they hit it off, became friends. Perez remembers when they met for coffee at the Coffee Bean in April of 2007, and Katy ended up bringing along one of her CD demos for him to listen to. I mean, these are tracks that had not come out yet. Some of them were eventually part of her first album, including the song You're So Gay. And Perez liked it and posted it on his site, you know, with her permission. And what he learned later was that Katy was on the verge of being dropped from her record labels. And this would actually be the second time. If this happened, she would have been dropped two times from two different labels. Yeah, not a good, not a great sign for an up-and-coming artist trying to break into the music industry. And he talked about a record executive, Angela Cobb Baylor, and she was like a Katy Perry hype girl. She really liked Katy. And she worked for the original label that dropped Katy, Columbia Records, and felt bad and helped Katy get re-signed with Capitol, the one she was currently with when she gave Perez the demo. And based on what Angela Cobb Baylor had heard, Katy was on the verge of being dropped. And she actually told Perez that if he had not posted You're So Gay on his website and helped like facilitate this traction and interest in this no-name Katherine Perry, she would have 100% been dropped from Capitol as well. So just something so simple as he met someone at a party, decided that he liked their vibe, and decided to put one of her songs on his site, and then Katy Perry gets to stay with her record label with Capitol Music. Like, that is a life-changing event for her. I don't care how, you know, she could have still made it one other way or another, but like, that is still a huge deal, assuming all this 100%. Is true.
And I feel like Perez is who introduced me to Katy Perry for sure.
And again, I just the example of his influence at this time, like he introduced Kelsey to Katy Perry. He kept Katy Perry with Capitol Records, like huge impact and influence to kind of wrap your mind around just this one blogger at Coffee Bean. But
oh my God, imagine him like sitting there with like his wired headphones in, like making the music industry.
Arguably, he was to an extent, literally.
Wow. Just feel like I discovered so many cool artists through Perez's website. But Katy, I remember when her like I Kissed a Girl came out, I was like,
whoa.
Oh my God, it's Perez's friend.
I remember hearing those intro beats to I Kissed a Girl. I know it's not Max Martin, but I just remember being like, what the hell is this? I like it.
Wait, did they ever work together? I'm going to Google it.
Teenage Dream, the entire Teenage Dream album. Teenage Dream in the chorus. Dun, dun, dun. You know those like backgrounds? Like, oh my God, I cannot not hear them now. It's like, you make me dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Like a... Oh. It's so good. Max Martin's a genius. Okay, sorry. Anyways, Katie started getting a little more traction, obviously was super grateful to Perez. They were getting along. They started spending more time together. And this is when he said in this video that he uploaded in 2019, he thought that, you know, that they became real friends. And he said he believed he became like a true cheerleader and champion for Katie during this time. And similarly to Lady Gaga, this must be a thing that he does. He hired her to perform at his South by Southwest party in March of 2008. There's some like old school cute videos of them online, one particularly them dancing to Single Ladies together. Perez is like trying to give Katie some rhythm and help her with her dancing a little bit. And it was very cute. They just definitely seem very friendly and close. She looked so young though. She was like kind of in her rocker, like edgy Ashley Simpson haircut, like skinny jeans era, which was like just seeing her like that was such a fun flashback. But so then Perez kind of goes into when Katy Perry became, you know, quote unquote, Katy Perry, the superstar. And he said this was after the first album. And he was like, the first album was great. It did well. We had huge singles off that. But like her second album, Teenage Dream, with Max Martin, took her to like next level superstardom. And I always have to say that Teenage Dream is probably a top five pop song of our generation. Just want to continue to put that out there.
I agree. Or honestly, of all time.
I agree. I don't know if like my grandma would agree.
Who cares? On our top 10, it is up there.
Oh, yes. I mean, on top five is for me. But like the album itself, there were five number one singles off that album. And at that time, that had not been done since Michael Jackson. So like it was Michael Jackson and then Katy Perry was the next person to hit the five number one single record.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and that's a Max Martin record. So, God, I'm obsessed with that man. But
she, this is a surprise. This is just surprise. An episode of Max Martin.
Episode 5, 4, whatever we're on. But obviously, there was a huge change in her level of fame, the power dynamic between them. And Perez believes this is when she became also more than just her music. And she was a tabloid figure. People wanted to know who she was dating, where she was partying, like who her friends were. So she had not just become a musical superstar, but she had reached a whole nother level of pop culture stardom. And when that happened, this is when it became difficult for Perez to have a relationship with her. And here is a clip of him describing, in his words, what happened.
We had a falling out, but we never had a falling out. Does that make sense? Like, we never had a big fight, not on my end. And I don't think she ever really got upset at me over anything. We just had a slow drifting apart because of the nature of what I do for a living and who she is and me having to report what I do.
So according to Perez, this wasn't a big fight. This wasn't like what happened with Lady Gaga. There was not one incident that set this friendship down the drain. It was more kind of a natural erosion of their friendship due to Perez's position in the media and desire to report on, you know, the hot celebrity of the time, make his own money, find his own success. And what do you do when that superstar happens to be, you know, one of your close friends? And I just can only imagine how difficult that would be.
Seems like an easy answer. Don't fucking public. You have so many other celebrities that you can talk about.
That's true. And I don't think from what he said, it didn't seem like he's posted something that upset her necessarily. I'm sure she probably had reached a point where she probably had trouble trusting him. And so similar to what you said earlier, Kels, this is where Perez said his opinion on his ability to have friendships with celebrities changed. He said he used to think it was possible up to this point, and he thought he truly had formed real friendships with certain celebrities. But in his mind, when looking at this Katy Perry relationship, he realized that there was just always some level of like usury on each side. Like she's using him to get publicity on this 7 million a day website. He's using her for some, you know, light stories, or maybe they get photographed together. It sure helps his cred if he's friends with the biggest pop star at the time. And he,
I know, but I just feel like he was there from the beginning. Like, not to stand up for Perez, but like he liked her when no one knew her, you know? It's just really sad.
It's tough. I see both sides. And in this video, he only wished the best of things for Katy. He said he likes Katy Perry as a human being. And he genuinely seemed to encourage Katy to reach out to him. He was like, reach out to me if there's something that actually happened. If you're actually mad at me for something, which in my opinion makes it feel like there really isn't anything there. I just think it's an unfortunate natural progression when you're a celeb gossip reporter that your A-list celeb friend may want to distance herself from you. Like, I sure as hell would. I would. Now, unlike Gaga, I was not able to find anything where Katy herself spoke out on what happened between her and Perez. That's very not her brand. I'm like not surprised. We got a ton of pictures and cute videos of them, and then all of a sudden we didn't. You know, when Teenage Dream happened, I think she became much more of a packaged celebrity. She had a tight PR team, you know, just a totally different level of fame, and that comes with it. But I also think it's worth noting that we are really getting only one side of the story with this. Perez is the only one who's really commented, but he does seem to be on this kind of like apology and truth tour within the last few years. So I do like to believe what he's saying, but just a reminder to take it with a grain of salt, because there's your side, my side, and then the truth. So you never really know. That's, I know, nightmare. I've said that before and it has not gone over well. But in 2020,
psychologically, though, you're correct. In my like social psych class, we learned that your memory is influenced by your emotions at that time when you like had the event, and also now when you're recalling the event. And then everyone else is also influenced by their own emotions. Like, no one will be able to recall the same thing, even if they've saw the same event happen at the same time.
So in 2021, I also found another video of Perez actually at Katy's residency play in Vegas, and he gave it an A, like a 95 out of 100. I would have given it about a 70, but awesome that he had such a great experience at it and loved it so much. He also made it seem like he didn't pay for the tickets. He was like, I looked up how much our seats would have cost if we had bought them, and they would have been $700. So, like, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, maybe Katy and team comped, maybe
an olive branch, if you will.
Who knows? And he made a funny comment how far Katy has come as a performer, and reminisced back in the day when she performed at his South by Southwest party way back in 2008. And he told her then, he said, divas don't perform in flats, because apparently that used to kind of be her MO when she was in that like tomboy phase. And that woman definitely does not wear flats at her shows anymore. So she definitely listened to his advice. Do you have any memories about this relationship, Kels, or like noticing that they were friends and then no longer friends?
Well, I obviously knew that they were friends because of how heavily he would promote her on the site. He would always be so supportive of her. She was in all those party photos. I don't really remember him having like a falling out with her as publicly, probably because by the time the Gaga fallout came around, I was just so used to him being in a feud with like every celebrity ever that it probably just didn't shock me as much as the Gaga one. And I think also because Katy was so hush-hush about it, if I was her PR person, I would counsel her to also say nothing. I think she played that pretty perfectly, honestly. Tree Pain would probably suggest the same. Yeah, I don't really remember this feud being as big, but I remember him building her up. Like, that's what I remember most about their friendship, is how hard he was advocating for her.
So where is Perez now? What is he up to?
Well, let me tell you. Apparently, Perez has since seen the light, the error of his old ways, and he has apologized many times for being so vicious and spreading horrible, damaging rumors. And in 2010, he vowed to change his ways. This was inspired when he basically did a campaign for It Gets Better, and everyone on the internet was like, what are you talking about, Perez? Like, you have outed closeted people. Like, you are so mean to everyone. Like, you're a bully. What do you mean it gets better? So he told The Guardian, quote, I made a video called It Gets Better, encouraging gay teens about the future, but the response I got was very negative and it very much shook me to my core. People were saying that I was a hypocrite and a bully and a big part of the problem. So I needed to stop hiding behind this character that I created, end quote. I think it's interesting that he calls himself a character. I think he's trying to separate. This is me putting on my PR monocle.
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing here is creating, oh, that's not who I really am. That was a persona that I had put
right.
on. Those things that I said, that wasn't really me. Who I really am is an empathetic person, a compassionate person. Me as Mario, I would never say that, but Perez would say that. So I think since then, you know, he's mended bridges with a lot of the people who he had these really high profile feuds with, Fergie being one of them. Did you know that Fergie wrote a song about him called Pedestal? Who are you and what do you do that makes you think you're above me, but have you walked in my shoes?
I know that song. I didn't know it was about Perez.
Because isn't it about like telling a bully to stop?
Yeah, it's like talking about like a bully's downfall.
Yeah, well, that's about Perez. Jen Aniston, who I mentioned before, he used to call Maniston, and even Vanessa Hudgens, who he published her leaked nude photos.
Jail. Jail.
So, I mean, he has written so much about how badly he feels about this, and I can only imagine. But there's a really interesting anecdote about Jen Aniston that I wanted to share. He ran into her once, and the way that they've both described it, she went on the Ellen DeGeneres show and told the same story. But Perez said that it was super random. They were outside a restaurant in like the parking lot, and she was in the passenger seat of a car driving out. And they were both like deer in headlights. They just kind of stood there like looking at each other. And he said, I never thought I'd meet her. I always thought people would keep us apart. She was aware at the time I was on what you'd call Team Jolie. And I explained to her that I viewed the people that I was talking about on my blog like soap opera characters. And she just reminded me, no, I'm a real person.
There was something really great about just putting the human being in front of another human being. And then the reality that those words do, even though it's for humor and just for effect or whatever, there's a human being behind all of that. Yeah. And no matter what. So bullying in high schools or bullying on the internet or bullying anywhere it's good that I think he's making and he's kept it up. I think good for him and keep it up.
And yeah. I feel like that goes back to what we were saying earlier, like celebrities are humans. Like you can't just say whatever you want about someone and expect them. You can't poke them and expect them not to get a bruise, you know? Like,
right.
I love that story. And I love that Jen told a similar story. In her words, she just straight up asked him, like, why are you so mean? And he was like, I'm not mean. Like, Perez is mean. You know, it's like this persona. So I just feel like that was probably a meaningful moment for him. And he really does seem truly apologetic for the things that he published. And pop culture commentary just had a completely different tenor in the early 2000s. And that's not me excusing it. I'm just saying that all of the factors were there to breed this kind of snarkiness and ugliness to become the cool thing at the time. It was just a perfect environment and breeding ground to just be nasty because we thought it was funny back then. Like we did. So since then, he's released a bunch of books. He has a podcast. He is allegedly also being nicer to celebs on his site. I took a scroll through his headlines because PerezHilton.com is still very much active. And they all felt really neutral to me. It felt like scrolling in e-news. But Perez is still getting heat for his mean ways. You know, just because he is trying to repent, that doesn't mean that people have forgiven him. And this was on display in 2021 when he publicly apologized to Britney Spears after she appeared in court and we all heard how horrific her life had been in her conservatorship. He decided to apologize to her publicly for writing cruel things about her, and her fans were not having it. He came out with this really nice statement. He apologized. He carries deep shame and regret, he said. He made it seem like he didn't quite understand the severity of her situation. But then it was kind of interesting. We still see old Perez sort of hanging out in there because once he gets all this, you know, flack for apologizing, he posted this 20-minute apology video and he said, I'm going to read this. Today, I have been getting so much hate and bullying from people who were and are upset about how I used to talk about Britney Spears. And my message to all those people is, fuck you. It just does not compute that you're going to bully someone for bullying somebody in the past. How does that make you any better than what I did? I fully own how reprehensible I used to be back in the day.
As someone who considers herself a member of the Britney Spears fandom, I had no problem with it. Nobody knew what Britney was like, what was going on back then, except people in her circle. And even they were kind of, not everybody knew or understood. So, I mean, if we're going to hold a grudge for that, I think he has his point. Like, how are we any better?
Wow, Mary, that's really big of you.
He didn't bully me, you know? It's not up to us to accept his apology or not, you know? A lot of people can't apologize. They can't admit that they were wrong. And so when I see someone that seems to do that in a genuine way, I'm giving them that.
Wow. That's powerful, Mary. And I think that the story of Perez is an interesting tale of redemption and forgiveness. Like, can somebody truly change their ways? Can Perez be redeemed for all of the viciousness that he put out into the universe? And can we for consuming it so voraciously? I don't know if there's a correct answer to this, but that's what it all makes me think of when I think of Perez Hilton. Are we any better than we were in 2004? I don't know.
I think now it's just directed at the celebrities. Like, we don't need Perez anymore because we're connected to the celebrities versus their social media, and people just direct their vitriol towards the celebrities without the middleman.
Great. Exciting. What is interesting to me, though, that like Demois, who I would argue is like the biggest celebrity gossiper today, they choose to remain anonymous because I wonder if Perez was a cautionary tale for them, perhaps.
Smart.
Says the lawyer. It makes me sad that you and I grew up as young girls seeing really mean things about women and like their bodies being plastered on the front of magazines. And I'm not saying that Perez was the only one who was nasty, Us Weekly would be like, look how old Julianne Moore looks without makeup on. Like, Cameron Diaz, what happened? Yeah. Like, you're too old for Justin Timberlake. Like, that's the shit that we grew up with and has been like internalized by so many of those in our generation. And it's really sad. But Perez was just like this lightning in a bottle moment where it was like he did some really funny things. He did some really cool things for artists, but most of it was really shitty. But no one called it out because everyone was doing it at the time. I think about him all the time. So thank you for letting me rant about Perez.
I learned some things and it forces some reflection as to where we were and where we are.
Yeah, don't say mean things to celebrities online, I think is the takeaway here. Or in general, like anyone.
You should like and give them 5 stars, just like us, and subscribe and write us a nice comment and we'll read it on the next episode and say thank you a million times.
Yeah, and also follow us on Instagram at When They Popped Pod and on TikTok at When They Popped.
Make sure to join us next week as we go through a very exciting year at the Grammys.
We're going back to 2004, everyone, the year that Perez started his blog.
Oh my God, it's all connected. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.